a day of confession and prayer. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. Because of the depression, the church appointed a day of confession and prayer. As a footnote, this meditation, divided over the next 4 days, was published in November of 1931. There is great distress, and the spirits cannot be bound, not by us, and that may be well for them and for us, neither by God, and that will drive us together with them to the last judgment. A day of confession and prayer. It is certain that in several churches one will hear about the coming day of judgment, and we will hear that that day is near, that it approaches, that the signs of its coming are present. We will hear that they are clearly known. The much abused and often not well considered word, known, will know it again. Indeed, what will it again? Will that easy word stimulate the knowledge of faith? Or will it perhaps resist, restrain, and weaken it? It will certainly do this last thing if on our day of confession and prayer we do not consciously remember that also the day of the Lord is again nothing else but a matter of faith. A matter of faith, thus it cannot be proven. A matter of faith, and thus also for those who believe it, never to know it, and even less to calculate it, by the foreboding signs. Certainly, there was once, around the year 29 of our Lord, a quiet hour in which Christ said to some particularly mentioned disciples, "When you see these things happening, know that it is near, before the door." But he had said that about the destruction of Jerusalem, at least about that in the first place. And we are not allowed to date that word for another time, nor interpret the gesture of Jesus when he very particularly pointed to that one city, as if it was a very unobtrusive and edifying gesture of a minister pointing, not to Jerusalem in particular, but to an indefinable space, to everything. Is the prophecy of the fall of Jerusalem then not eschatological? Someone will ask. And is the destruction of that city not included in that great process of God's continuing work on his ongoing day, as a result of which he will let the last firmament completely come to the perfect development of what was already initially revealed in the destruction of Jerusalem? Certainly. But one should consider indeed that the last things will be 70 times 7 more terrible in their development than the first, and that the prophecy in its preaching indeed always is connected to what was present in the concrete situation, political, social, national, and international, and after that appeared in the light of the prophetic word. But the invisible powers, which worked in that visible process on behalf of God, always remained invisible, also then. They remained a matter of faith, and in that tangible, concrete, given reality of then, they only had an initial discharge for the one side. In the same way, and that is the other side, the developments will become greater and greater, and also more confusing and complicated, and are already more invisible, intangible, unknowable, and indeterminable. The energy that is working in all that exists both in church and world. Therefore, if these last things are true, it will steadily become more difficult for the serious believing professor to say what is such a foreboding eschatological sign. And for an unbelieving professor, who nevertheless begins from the presupposition that there is a church which explains the Bible, it will also become more and more difficult to determine which events should be considered as the real foreboding signs of that church, on the particular basis of that church and her Bible faith, that would cause her to suddenly wake up. So that, if the just mentioned remarks, especially in the last words about that energy, are true, the famous orator, who in the distress of the times has again a subject to deal with, and who truly sees the opportunity to suggest to the people that his material becomes more captivating and easier to deal with, is mistaken, fearfully mistaken. He is wrong. Indeed, that sentence about the energy that is working more and is also more invisible is true. Not only is Scripture teaching this by saying that as God progresses with the church, the signs, and thus also the foreboding signs as signs, will become less and less, and that we therefore will have to look for more and more noumena, knowledge, among the unpopular and less omina, foreboding signs, which without the revelation are always false, among the popular speakers. But also this is part of the sober course of events and the development of the situations themselves. What are, for example, to mention at least something, wars? The generally local wars were much smaller and much more severe, and as a result of that, also much more transparent than, for example, the present-day wars of words and wars of thoughts. When the press and other media lie and change the emphasis, let themselves be guided by whoever pays the most, allow wars and peace, indeed both of them, cause an emotion in an impure manner, cause problems to be confused, and so hatred, not in accordance to the opinion of the all-judging spirit, but according to the divisive principle of cliques, that may or may not agree with us, then this is no visible war, no famine, and no noisy happening. But nevertheless, it is in all of that, that a much stronger revelation, and that internationally, of that same power that in the former and current bloody wars, which always inspire and have inspired sermons about the last days, only found their beginning. There will thus not be much sensitivity about God's signs with him who can observe, but causes the people eagerly and unwashed to gather together around that popular orator with his rattling words of crisis, that speaker who before our eyes blocks the way to the appearance of the angels of judgment. Yet, he who will discern quiet rumors will be very sensitive and quiet, not so much because there is somewhere an insolent false prophet who makes so much noise that it is recorded in the newspapers, but because he hears Paul say in prose, 2 Thessalonians 2, that God will send an energy of errors on the way that leads us to the Antichrist, because they did not want to have the love of truth, revealed truth. Send. That is in this context invisible and slow, but tough. Energy which is sent. One does not observe this so easily. Perhaps he who likes puzzling, the drummer who wants to predict the continuously postponed last day, is himself already caught up in its snares. Errors. No, this is not a cutting curse. This is not what reaches the newspapers. Instead, it is what has come upon the newspapers, what has penetrated it. That is the quiet, soundless poison that also comes on those who cry out so much against it, also upon us. Thus it is very important not to spoil our day of confession and prayer. No, I do not deny that what moves our time is indeed a negative result, an instrument, a vehicle, an opportunity for the discharge of powers, which indeed will appear on the last day. I only deny that one can say even one word of faith about it, without a faith that also on this point is releasing itself from below, out of what can be seen. I only deny that in those shuddering things, which orators and authors have so easily within reach, one is indeed given the realistic signs for anticipation and warning, which are understood by faith. I only deny that one can see the day of the Lord approaching, and can double-check this by the means of what is published in the newspapers, and by what rightfully touches the minds, and by what justly presses tears into our eyes. That we, for example, do not weep about our errors, and in the ecclesiastical press either ignore someone or paint him very black, who only tries to ask if there is perhaps an error among us in our roots, even if he is wrong, is a far more serious indication than an earthquake or British gold, both in connection with the Transvaal and South Africa, or not. And for that, we do not appoint days of confession and prayer. The magazine Word and Spirit should be a sign of the times for the Reformation, and vice versa. Please do not skip the latter. The alarm clock should be it for the trumpet, and vice versa as above. But he who mentions things like that is mocked. One is then also only allowed to speak eschatologically into thin air among us, miserable beings that we are. For this reason, we should be convinced of three things on any day of confession and prayer. The great day will come, but it will come as a thief in the night. Do not ignore that word. He is coming unexpectedly. Of course, Scripture is not referring to those who live in the Congo or in Guinea, but to those who are included in the circle of the revealed word. As a thief, we will be greatly surprised with all our timely sermons and timely words. This will be our last embarrassment. We are still such thickheads, even in the last days. We do not listen carefully. We do not have patience for quiet rumors. Consideration. The great day is coming, but it comes as a thief. Do not walk away from that word. If we in our consideration come to ourselves and also to God, we will understand that it is not a terrible abuse of God's name in the stadium, nor a dirty picture of the Soviets, that will meet the greatest indignation in heaven. No, our error will. The energy of error, O God, that is our punishment. Punishment, compensation, newspapers that are dozing, churches that are crowning diplomats, principles that wear out, fake presentations that are presented as true knowledge, young people who are conceited and organize the next boisterous meeting, ignoring fundamental questions. That, exactly that, is the problem. We have to see our errors as a preparation for the last day. And we notice very little of this, just as little as a patient notices the dirty air in his bedroom. Conversion. The great day is coming, but it comes as a thief. Do not succumb under that word. For there will yet be some that are not hypocrites, and therefore correctly understand the signs of the times. Indeed, they connect nomina and omina, and that is why they are so simple and so very smart. They give the angels a firm handshake and continue to work on the earth. As a thief in the night, it rumbles in their ears. O God, those who are awake must then be a small minority. Thus the judgment will be restrained by true and faithful prayers. The day of confession and prayer is a moratorium for the last judgment, wherever he still teaches the believers to watch in great numbers. For when many are watching, the great thing cannot happen yet. Still, that day is coming. It is coming yet closer. Thus I know that the separation continues, the separation between those who watch and those who sleep, the separation between the nomina seekers, those who seek knowledge, and omina turners, those who turn to foreboding signs. The separation between those who want to discern errors and those who maintain themselves in their little chairs. And I know that it is thus decided now, and that it has to go this way, and that this now is the way along which he wants to come, the way of faith.